¡Órale! ¡Sí, señor!
Nice.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin and my co-pilot today, Primo Ricky Torres.
What up?
¡Órale, órale, baby!
Let's do this. I'm excited to be here, talk football. I feel like all last week there's no COVID. Now this week there's so much chisme. So I'm excited. So much to talk about.
Oh, so much to talk about. Primo Hector, we're missing you tonight, but hey, man, home ownership's got its priorities. So finish up. We'll catch up with you on the weekend.
Yes, a lot going on right now. So.
Oh, well, gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffp.com, as well as our Twitter at familiaffp and our Familia FFP Facebook page. Well, we always do start off this episode kind of with our picks. You know, Primo Nico often has been joining us for this one, but he had to send his in. He had a lot of work to catch up on his day job. But, you know, first we wanted to take a look at how everybody did last week. And it was, you know, it kind of was.
It was a weird week.
It was such a weird week. The weather played a factor. I mean, I heard so many people just saying it was.
Yeah, like the best defense was Miami because they did so much. Like it was a weird. Yeah, the weather, the kicks, right?
Oh my God, that kick in the Cleveland Raiders.
There's like a couple of them. Yeah, just.
Oh.
There was a few games like that. I forgot what other game I saw that happen in.
Green Bay had that one. That game was weird because of weather. The Buffalo New England game was weird.
Titans Gostkowski just couldn't make a field goal.
Oh, so it was just it just kind of reflected in everything. We went over. Let's go over Nico's picks last week. We had Buffalo -3.5. They won by 3. Tennessee,
wow, right on the line.
Tennessee 5.5 favorite. They lost.
They lost by 11.
Yeah, they lost. But I had the other half of that on my system. So that was a W for me on that one. And then they had the Chargers -3, which if Drew Lock doesn't make that last throw, they cover. Yeah. I know that one hurts, baby.
What a horrible game.
And then you mentioned the Miami defense was the best of the day. They covered against the Rams. I was worried about that one. That game felt like a trap game. And then Nico got the W with Pittsburgh +4. So that was a good win. And then on Hector's picks, he had Tampa, which they won, but they did not win by 11. And I had the other half of that with my home underdog system with the Giants. Green Bay -7, which that should have happened, but for some reason they didn't show up. And the Raiders was a win. They were +2.5. That was a good one. And then he also had the Chargers. So again, weird week. So we'll catch up with Hector's picks tomorrow, but Nico sent in his picks, which is some interesting ones. You got the Raiders even. Against
where
your
they
Chargers
at
your Chargers.
Well, now what does even mean?
It means they just it's a pick
that they're gonna tie the game or what?
Oh. No, you just you pick the winner.
Oh, I see. So it's a no spread. Okay.
Yeah,
I see what he did there.
So you got the Giants +2.5. They're playing. They're playing at Washington. So that one that
they looked good last week. So
yeah. They looked they're looking surprisingly good, the Giants. So
they play up and then they play down when they play up. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, maybe this is the week they play down. Then the next one is Seattle -3 in Buffalo, which I think is a
fun game.
It's gonna be
a field goal game.
Yes, I agree. It's gonna be a close one. One of those things. I keep thinking that one of these days Seattle's gonna throw a clunker out there, and but I don't know if this
Seattle.
Yeah,
you don't consider the end of the Arizona game a clunker?
No,
I mean, I guess they're still in it, but I mean, yeah. I don't know if they're. I don't think Seattle will have a clunker because they have too many weapons. I mean, they have the ability to catch up fast because of DK and Russell. So I don't ever think they're going to be out of a game.
No, I agree. And then another one is Green Bay, the tomorrow night's game, which we'll preview in a minute with everybody's out. It seems like so many starters.
I see that it says -7. No, that's last week. So what's the spread right now? Is it still 7?
6.5.
I could have sworn like 2 hours ago I heard it was like at 13.
The Green Bay. It's like, Green Bay, San Francisco? Oh, wow. Yeah,
it's probably changing all the time because of all the news.
Wow. Let me, you know what? talk about the Ravens game.
Who are they going to play?
They are going to play. I'm reminding myself on that one.
I don't see them on here.
Where?
Oh, there they are. They are actually playing in a really good game against the Colts.
Oh, that's so you have right.
a team in the Colts that's looking good. Finally, everyone's playing good. We don't know what's going on with Jonathan Taylor, but the Colts defense is finally doing what people expected them to do as far as at least step it up and stop teams rather than letting them run all over. But they're facing the Ravens. So I think this is a good game to see if the Colts are really playoff contenders. Because if they get whooped by the Ravens, I wouldn't expect to see the Colts make playoffs. But if they can at least only be down by a touchdown or 10, then I think, you know what, Colts have a chance of making playoffs and actually doing something.
I think you're right.
When you have the Ravens in this, you also got to be scared because I don't think they're going to run much. And I don't know what's going to happen because if they don't run much, that's when Lamar does well, is when he just runs. When he tries to be Patrick Mahomes, he's not good at it. He's better at being the Lamar Jackson style player. And I think Indy's quick on the run. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a good game.
It is going to be a good game. And the thing that I think will be interesting about this one, it's going to be on the fast track in their dome. So, I mean, that always favors the teams that have the great speed. And I don't know if anybody's going to be faster than Lamar Jackson on that field. So, you know, it could happen, but again, I mean, Indy's been such a good defense. You know, they showed up last week against Detroit, but again, they still really haven't played an elite team. They haven't beaten an elite team. So, we'll definitely see
that later. You're going to talk about them later anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk about them later. And my system has Dallas +13 against Pittsburgh. And usually, you know, the thing I like about the system is it's like there's no heart. It's all based on mathematics. So it just kind of takes.
Yeah, but now your heart's coming into play because you really don't want to go with it this week. Right?
I really don't, because I'm like, I sit there and I'm like, Dallas is, you know, Dallas has almost given up on the season. And that's just, that's sickening to me. You know, these guys need to show professional pride, but I'm putting the pick in because I got to follow the system. And plus the system's 3-0 already. So we're going to see. We're going to see.
Good luck. Keep it up.
Yeah. Well, you guys will give me a hard time about it on Sunday. The good thing is I don't pick too many right now. Later in the season, there could be 3, 4, 5 games going on this.
Yeah, but you shielded yourself by making yourself seem like a novice, because Nico and Heck make themselves seem like gurus. So when they lose, it's like, come on, guru.
I'm sneaking in. I'm just sneaking in, you know, like a fox in the night. So you can come in. I'm going to take your chickens.
Teach the old guys something.
Take all the gallinas and stuff. Well, hey, let's get into some chisme.
Chisme.
So we got Adam Schefter reporting that
a lot of COVID reports, right?
Oh, my God. Well, they've strengthened the protocols. So
after last week having 0, remember?
Right. And now all of a sudden it's like the 49ers had some, you know, had some positive tests, Kendrick Bourne being one, and, you know, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, they both were considered close contact. And I mean, so they've just shut down their facility. The game is still scheduled, and there was some Twitter mentions about people who are on the flight coming from Green Bay to San Francisco. So the game's going to be happening on Thursday night. So we'll be previewing a little bit, but how crazy is this, baby?
It's only going to get crazier, you know, every inch we get closer to the game. So it'll be exciting because A, I'm going to win again because when the Niners lose, I win. But also it's going to be an NFL team versus an XFL team. So
it's well, we'll get into the backfield. There's madre that is going on both teams. It's just, oh, it's nuts. It's nuts. And speaking of nuts, Matthew Stafford, he's on the COVID IR, but he hasn't tested positive. It's because of an exposure. So there is still a chance he's going to play on Sunday.
That tells me he's going to play. I mean, if it was just an exposure, I think he'll be fine if he hasn't tested positive already. I mean, I've been exposed so many times and I've yet to test positive. So you really got to get in there to get it. But yeah, if he's not doing it now, I'm just going to go with he's playing. It sucks because I have him and I have Garoppolo in a two quarterback league.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you know, when you sit about it and think about it, yeah, you're talking about from the point of experience. You're looking at the fact that and you've been around it on a daily basis for the past 7-8 months, and maybe even longer. And you're right, you know, you're taking the proper precautions. And gosh,
yeah, it's true. It's just, I don't know. It's so weird because last week we had zero. And now all you're seeing is COVID IR. But I mean, I don't know what to think. I don't know if this is just, you know, like being hopeful. This is just a slip up or this is flu season. This is what happens.
Oh, I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, that's tough because, you know, Matthew Stafford coming off of back-to-back 300-yard games. So something we got to keep an eye on. You know, it's one of the things we got to keep that first thing in the morning, whenever I turn on my phone, I check Twitter to see if Adam Schefter or Tom Pelissero found a new.
It's like, I don't got to do anything because then you text whatever that is in the family chat.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, we may be getting the reemergence of Michael Thomas.
Yep. Finally, he's practicing Wednesday due to his hamstring and his ankle. He practiced last week before ultimately missing week 8. So I believe people are finally ready to see the king. Because last year, remember, he made Hall of Fame numbers. He had the record, right, for the most receptions.
Yeah.
So everyone this year is waiting for this guy. And if you have him, you're stuck with this guy on your team. No one's going to give you value. So his chances of suiting up against the Bucs this Sunday are a lot higher than they were last week, but that doesn't tell me much because he still didn't play last week. And then Emmanuel Sanders, who's off the COVID list, and Marquez Callaway also practiced. So it looks like hopefully New Orleans is going to have a full backfield or full wideout so that they can finally – Drew Brees can look like the old Drew Brees. Right now they just look like – and I don't mind, but it's just an all-Kamara team.
Oh, and speaking of Kamara, he sent out a tweet that he's planning. He didn't practice today, but that he's planning to play. So, you know, it's seeming like Wednesdays are like the days off for running backs anyway. So give him extra time to heal up their bodies and get ready.
That's literally how it's been this whole season. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, DeAndre Hopkins didn't play last week Wednesday. So I'm going to start taking every Wednesday off.
Oh, man. Well, not from recording. So that, you know, no. So and last but not least, Daryl Henderson, the Rams are off this week, but Coach Sean McVay says that he thinks that Henderson is going to be fine. That, you know, you just had that injury, but that, you know, with the time off, he should be fine. Though I'm still, you know, any team where I got Henderson, anybody who's got Henderson, I'm looking to grab Cam Akers.
Yeah. I mean, every league that I have Henderson, I'm either trading him to the guy who has Akers or trying to get Akers. So yeah, I think eventually, like you were talking about earlier, Akers looks like the most efficient back in the sense that he has these huge runs and they look good, but they just feed Henderson. That's who they want to give the ball to.
Yeah. I just think it's good. I mean, if he's fine, that'll be good.
So young. So it's hard to think like this guy's already breaking down. Like it's his second year, isn't it?
It is his second year. And you just don't, I mean, some guys are just a little bit, I mean, I've seen some of the, one of the more prominent analysts, Edwin Porras, who says that, you know, he's a doctor of physical therapy and he says players aren't necessarily injury prone, but you know, some guys, I guess, are a little more have a little more bad luck than others.
Like so, like Galladay, they call Glass now. So it reminds me of who is the guy that I think it was Portland from in basketball. They drafted him over Kevin Durant.
Oh, Greg Oden.
Greg Oden.
Yeah.
Greg Oden disease.
Yeah, he basically was out.
You just get old really quick
and
just break apart.
Yeah, and a little bit further back, Sam Bowie, who got picked before Michael Jordan, he had an injury-plagued career. So tons of foot injuries. So, that
can never really count on it. But
no. Well, hey, let's get into the Thursday night. Let's start off with the Thursday night preview. We got Green Bay at San Francisco. So I looked it up. It's now an 8-point spread. So the game is, so usually these kind of games go off, but it's an 8-point spread. It is still it's a 48.5 over under. It was 49.5 a little bit earlier. It's going to be a crazy game because, San Francisco is down to like Jamichael Hasty and Jerick McKinnon as its running back, and Green Bay with Aaron Jones being questionable. The coaches are saying they're pessimistic that he's going to play, and you've got,
as they should be.
Yeah, and then you've got Jamal Williams and AJ Dillon both in the COVID-19 protocol. So you're looking at Tyler Irvin or Dexter Williams as the running backs there.
Ooh.
Exactly. Yakin, exactly. To me, this is just going to mean that Aaron Jones is going to be instead of handing the ball off, maybe he'll hand the ball off some, but it's going to be just Devontae Adams all day. I really think so. I think he's going to get a lot of like little screen passes and then just, become their running back. I could see him getting 20 targets tomorrow. It's going to be nuts.
I can definitely see a lot of maybe like reverses and throwouts to Devontae where they're just quick screens. But I mean, San Fran's not going to do anything. They're not going to be, I don't know how great their defense is right now, but I feel like how I feel about the Dallas Cowboys. Just the Niners are starting to just lose hope, or that they're losing the drive. And you can kind of sense it because when you see your star players get injured, that hurts you when you play on that team. And I think that's what's going to happen to this team now. They saw Kittle go gone. They're seeing Mostert gone. They're seeing Debo Samuel just never getting to play in a damn game because of something. And it's just like, it's going to be deflating. And I think we're going to see it tomorrow for sure. And it's going to be the start of the decline.
And
Cowboys just got a head start. That's all.
Yeah. And Brandon Ayuk is out, and Nick Mullins, he was great against Seattle last week, but there was a game where he got benched for CJ Beathard because he thought he was Brett Favre, and instead he was throwing up picks like he was Jameis Winston. So that's why it's kind of like I think the point spread is just going up because that Green Bay has,
well, think about it, no one's gonna bet on the other side, so they gotta make
no
it.
Way. Yeah, because it's like you got a Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and you got an All-Pro receiver in Devontae Adams, and they can't stop the run. They're number 32 against running backs, but they're running. San Francisco's running backs, they're going off of kids. So I just don't see how much they're going to do. I mean, they might keep it a little close, but I think Green Bay is going to score a bunch of points tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, at what point, if you're Green Bay, do you put in your second team?
Oh, I think if you've got at least a 3-touchdown lead, like in the going into the fourth quarter, that's when you call out for, all you need is love, Jordan Love. All you need is love.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, take us to Hotlanta, baby.
All right, so looking at the script, I can tell you that this game, if you think truly about the theme of this season, Atlanta's going to go out to a great lead, and Denver's going to come back second half. Denver did it last week against the Chargers. Now they're 3-4. Atlanta seems to do it every week and just always give up leads, and they're 2-6. So they have Atlanta by 4, and that's tough because I feel like the Chargers are better than Atlanta, and Denver beat them. So I just want to bet on Denver, and I don't like Denver, and that's me betting with my heart, though. But in all honesty, Denver does have a good somewhat running game, and we'll see who's going to run. Phillip Lindsay jammed his toes, according to the NFL Network. But they still have Melvin Gordon. And Melvin Gordon, even though he looks ugly last week with only 47 yards total, when he's alone, he can still do damage. We saw him get over 120 yards that one week with a touchdown. So he's still productive, which opens up the field for Drew Lock. Atlanta can't stop anything. I mean, they can in the beginning, and they do have a really good rush defense. But I just feel like I don't even care anymore who's on that team. I already know what's going to happen. Atlanta's going to give up a lead. Like, that's all you got to think in the game. Other than that, Julio Jones is probably going to go off again. I believe Keenan Allen still tore it up last week. Still got, I think,
yeah, around. He did.
Mm-hmm. So he's – and expect Julio to get the same volume. Ridley, he got a foot sprain, so he's likely out because the following week is a bye. So with Ridley out, I would definitely want to pick up Gage. Gage, when Julio was out earlier, Gage was hot.
Oh, yes, he did.
He's always been a piece that can be like what Ridley is to Julio, where he gets 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think Gage did something like that because I've been betting on him on Daily Fantasy, hoping he's been going to do it again, but Julio's been in the way. Now that Ridley's out of the way, it's like, all right, he's going to put up Ridley numbers. Hayden Hurst, I'm still never going to trust, so forget it. But when you look at Atlanta's defense, they are the worst against the quarterback and the worst against tight ends and the fourth worst against wide receivers. That's all Denver needs because Denver's not that great of a team either. But their defense can at least hold back Atlanta. Atlanta's defense isn't going to be able to hold back Denver. And I've seen Noah Fant doing what everyone wants to see him do. Cause everyone's high on Noah Fant and he really hasn't done much, but this is the week where it's like, all right, Noah, show us what you're really going to do. And I wouldn't expect big numbers from Locke just cause it's Locke.
But their Atlanta's defense is so bad. I almost feel like just by default, Locke's going to throw for 300 yards. I mean, I was not overly impressed with him, you know, top to bottom. He made some good throws, but he also made some throws that just, you know, were way off or kind of ill-advised last week against the Chargers. But Atlanta's so bad. Atlanta's so bad. And this game's going to have a shootout potential because Denver, the place where Denver has been a little bit vulnerable, has been in the passing game.
I don't trust Drew Lock enough to say shootout.
You don't think so?
I just don't think he's that good.
Well, he's not as good as Matty Ice. So, I mean, Mateo Yello, he's already the QB10 this season. Already thrown 12 touchdowns in 7 games. So, you know, he's close to a 30 touchdown pace.
QB10 is like, I don't want to say bottom of the league, but it really is. But yeah, it's Matty Ice. At least he's not throwing that many interceptions.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is by default, Drew Lock. I think it's just going to be Drew Lock is going to get so much volume. He's going to throw so much that he's probably going to end up with, you know, close to 300 or, you know, maybe more than 300.
He threw 41 times last week and only got 248. So I don't know. I think no matter what, we're going to see Ryan do better than him. Do you think Gurley's actually going to look good? I don't like Gurley at all on any team, but he's the RB7 right now, which is really hard. But that's because of touchdowns.
Totally.
He's not receiving anything. He's only got 77 yards. And 531 yards really isn't that much for 7 weeks of action.
It is totally, you know, touchdown dependent. I mean, Denver, the one place they are good against the run, not good against the pass. So I think Gurley's going to get slowed down this week, but yeah, I agree with you when you say that, Julio Jones is going to have a big game. Since it's likely that Ridley's out, it's, you know, Matt Ryan's going to be looking at him first and foremost, and that's going to be it. Could be a game for Jerry Jeudy. because Tim Patrick is still kind of questionable. I think he's expected to play, but you know, he still might be a little bit, you know, there might be some residuals. So Jerry Jeudy might be, in addition to Noah Fant, maybe somebody who's, you know, get some extra looks from Locke. Ooh, look at that.
Well, take us to Buffalo.
Buffalo. This is going to be a fun game because,
this is an important game. That's one of the top NFC versus one of the top AFC teams.
Yep. I think, you know, this was probably a dark horse Super Bowl game at the beginning of the season. But one of the things, and because of the fact, because of what we looked at last week, just the crap load of games that had weather issues, I went ahead and looked at weather.com for this game, and it's going to be sunny skies, 67, light wind. So weather is not going to be a factor. So what I'm thinking here, it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be Russell Wilson is going to cook from the beginning to end. So, you know, he's the QB1 overall on the season. And with all these question marks in the running game, it's going to be DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett all day long. DK Metcalf just, you know, he had the 12 receptions.
It's going to be one of them. It's not going to be both of them. It's going to
You don't think it could be both having good games? I mean, no. One could have a blow-up game and the other one has. But it is weird how the last 2 weeks, one has blown up and the other one's had a quiet game.
Yeah, so. And I think you should just keep betting on that. I think Buffalo's good. The thing that's going to be the Achilles heel for Seattle is their horrible defense. I mean, they're gonna allow Josh Allen to not have to run so much. So he's going to be able to throw to Stephon Diggs. Cole Beasley, I would expect to get big numbers in this game. So, and just that right there tells you this is going to be a shootout, tells you that this has the ability to be like a field goal game, if not less than that, to where they're battling and no matter what, whoever has the ball at the end is going to win. So it'll be fun because everyone here can produce except the defenses. So yeah. It's going to be a fun game to watch.
Do you like the over on this one, 55.5?
I do, but that's really high, but I mean, I definitely can see both the 35-28. I can see. I would expect it to be like 35-34. And the one thing that I have a question on this is, are we done with Singletary? Is he like, should I not drop him? But I'm never starting him again.
Oh, I mean, this one's tough. I mean, Singletary, I mean, you got to have something better. And at this point, it's going to be hard to have better than Singletary because there's been so much attrition on the running backs, and now you're in the bye weeks. So it's tough to do that. But, you know, Zach Moss is getting the important carries, you know, down by the goal line. He got 2 touchdowns last week. They both had 14 carries last week. But to me, I think it's going to be – it's going to be the quarterback receiver combos. And, you know, I know you've been, you know, you've created a monster. You really got me thinking about is Josh Allen, is his value in DFS? I haven't looked at DraftKings yet, but is his value dropped enough that he could be, you know, kind of in a bargain and maybe be a nice little stack with Stephon Diggs?
Yeah. Well, I guess with Diggs that you could do that. I definitely am going to look up him. I'm going to go over all of our schedules because there are some juicy matchups for certain players. I like, for example, Drew Locke. You can get him dirt cheap, but he might be able to pull off a lot. But this guy, I don't know. I think it's going to be – they always go with Josh Allen. This game looks like it's going to be one of the ones where he's going to get away with it. He's going to throw for 350 yards. Run for 50 and get 4 touchdowns. And that's just because of how bad Seattle is. But that's also because that's how good Seattle's offense is that they're going to have to keep scoring no matter what. And since neither team has a defense that can turn over the ball a lot, it's just going to be you score, I score, you score, I score.
Oh, it's going to be fun. This is going to be a fun game. This is going to be a track meet. I, you know what? Yeah, and I think actually this might be a game to pay up. And if you stack Allen and Diggs, I think it might make sense to, you know, to go over and get a DK Metcalf or maybe go a little cheaper and get Ty Lockett and maybe get, you know, part of the shootout. So
definitely get part of the shootout in this.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. We'll take Tennessee down in Nashville.
Just real quick.
Oh,
I think it's finally fun. I have you doing DraftKings. You need to do more of it, but I was happy you did it, and I got my other buddy to do it. So I feel like now in our little group, we have like 9 people playing every weekend. So I want you to do it again, Georgie. So
I will
pick Josh Allen.
I will. I'm already thinking there. I'm already thinking there. You know,
good. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this next game actually is really fun because both of these teams have something to prove. Last week, and we're talking about Chicago, Tennessee here. Both of them, surprisingly for one of them, is 5-3. The other 5-2, and the 5-3 being Chicago, and Tennessee the either. Now, Tennessee was great one time. They were 5-0. What happened since? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Tannehill is who we thought he was. He obviously, 2 weeks ago, they played Pittsburgh. Tough game for them. Last week, how do you lose to Cincinnati?
That's inexcusable.
Not if you want to be a playoff team.
No.
And not only that, how do you lose by, what, 11? Like, ugh.
They lost easy, but yeah.
So put that in your head, right? So now if you're a Titan, you're like, I got to come back from this. I got to show that this team's better. But then you go to Chicago, and they're playing way better than they have. They're 5-3, so they are definitely almost going to go to playoffs. But last week they lost in a very close game to New Orleans, only by 3 points. So now they got to prove to themselves, we're a playoff team. We can make the playoffs. We almost beat New Orleans. So let's go out there, beat Tennessee, another team who's probably going to make the playoffs, and show teams that we're actually something to look at. So it's going to be a fun game in the sense of that's what I think the team dynamic is. And honestly, I look at this and I just don't expect either team to move the ball around much. I think this is going to be running game on running game. Obviously, Derrick Henry is going to try to bust a hole through this tough Chicago defense. And one of their worst features for Chicago's defense is their running back game as far as how they hold them. But that's only because they're 5th best against the QB, 3rd best against wide receivers. So guess what? Who are we going to see again? Crappy Tannehill. And mark my words, you might be able to get A.J. Brown like a long touchdown, but that's going to be because Tennessee might be behind by a touchdown or two. And that's only if Nick Foles shows up. I don't know what Nick Foles we're going to see. If Nick Foles can't move the ball, I highly doubt David Montgomery is against. I mean, this defense isn't that great, but Montgomery just, I don't see him moving the ball much. He's not impressive. And that's it. If they're not going to move it, I already know Tennessee's not. So it's up to Chicago to make this game competitive or not. Because Chicago can choose to keep it competitive, or Chicago can actually go out and just take over the ball, take over the whole game, because Tannehill's not good enough to overcome the Chicago defense if they're behind. And at least Chicago is good enough to go out to a lead. So in this game, yes, get Montgomery. If he's cheap, he's still like, you want the guy to get a touchdown. He's so close to being like one of the running backs you want every week, because he's consistently in the almost double digits and sometimes 15. But definitely Allen Robinson's going to be the hot guy of the week, and definitely. Mooney too. Mooney's coming out of nowhere. I believe, what's his name? Who's the number two? Miller?
Anthony Miller. Yeah.
He's out.
I think, right? Mooney's the new number two there.
And Mooney's good. He looks quick.
Yeah. So fast.
He's a rookie, right?
Though. Yep.
And so I feel like Robinson and Mooney have a great chance to try to show off and get this team a win here. So I would definitely want them in DFS. I would want Robinson because usually he goes for cheap. He's like cheaper than a lot of the elites, but he can definitely get the number of the elites. So on the Tennessee side, I wouldn't even want to get Derrick Henry because he's not going to be cheap in DraftKings. I still think Derrick Henry can pull off maybe what he did last week with like 100 yards and a touchdown, but I think that's your cap. I don't see Derrick Henry doing much more than that. A.J. Brown, once again, I think he's capped at 10. I just think the Chicago defense is too good and that Tannehill's not going to be able to to just fling him back in the game.
Yeah, I've got AJ Brown on a couple of teams, and it's got me a little bit worried. This matchup has me a little bit worried.
Chicago's great against the quarterback and wide receiver, so it's just like
so good. So good. I mean, you know, the Drew Brees kind of got enough last week to be able to beat them. I mean, that game was in Chicago, but again, I mean, both these teams are wounded after losing last week. So I think this is going to be a tough game, but the thing is, Foles could be a sneaky play just because of the fact that the Tennessee is just not good against the pass right now. So
he just hasn't done anything. Yeah. So it's hard to trust him, but I mean, I guess he is due, right?
Could be. Vamos a ver. I mean, this game is in Tennessee, and I looked, and doesn't look like weather's going to be much of an issue in this one. So might get a true game here on this one. So I'm going to take us to a game where weather is not going to be an issue. Baltimore at Indianapolis. So it's going to be obviously in a dome. Baltimore is a 2-point favorite, 46.5 over under. You know,
and I think that's too high.
I think you're right. Both defenses are too good to have both teams scoring in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I look at this game and I remember the Ray Lewis Baltimore days and Peyton Manning, and it was a day where it was somewhere in the early to mid 2000s. Both, you know, everybody was at the top of their game, and I mean, I think Peyton was definitely in his prime. And, you know, it was all the talk before the game was, are these guys going to, you know, is the Baltimore defense going to be too strong for Indianapolis? And then what ended up happening was playing on that turf, Peyton Manning was just surgical. He was just surgical. He threw like 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was just fantastic. I had him that year, and it was just amazing to watch that game. I don't think we're going to see that this week from Indianapolis, because, you know, Phillip Rivers is the QB 27, and I don't know. And plus, T.Y. Hilton, who has not shown up at all this season, is battling a groin. He's questionable to play in this game.
I think Phillip Rivers is just there in Indianapolis to sign autographs and wave.
I just wonder what's going to be their plan. I still think that they need to trade for Sam Bradford and turn him into his successor. So,
what?
I think that's my recommendation. You know, I don't know what's going to be the plan otherwise, because I don't think it's Phillip that after this season. I think they got to be looking at getting a young guy in there to be there.
Sam Bradford?
No, I'm sorry, Sam Darnold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I was like, that guy, like, just thinking of that was the old. Like, I feel bad. Oh, for that man, guy.
That's, you know, that tequila is a good, you know, tequila is a strong, you know, substance if you have too much of it. So, you know, podcasters, do not drink tequila and host a podcast.
that's just a funny name to hear, because it reminds me of, like, because I just happened to see college football this week and see Matt Leinart and Brady Quinn. And I'm like, oh, those names used to be big. Just like Bradford.
It's like, and we've had the land of misfit toys. We've had that's the land of washed up running quarterbacks, or washed out quarterbacks. So
Darnold's going to be one of them, but.
Oh, I don't know. He's got talent, but yeah, so far, you know, I've had several, you know, Rich Eisen, who's a huge Jet fan. He said they've broken Sam Darnold. But when it comes to this game, I think Jordan Wilkins could be a play, because I would hazard to guess Jonathan Taylor is not going to be much of a factor battling an injury, an ankle injury. And Wilkins did run the ball 20 times last week. I just don't know if T.Y. Hilton's out. It could be Michael Pittman, who's back from injury, and Trey Burton. So that's kind of, like, ugly.
You don't trust either of them. I mean, I wouldn't trust any of this team, because I don't like Phillip Rivers being the QB 27. But then you also got Baltimore, who's like number one against the running back, number six against wide receivers, and they need to be number one against the running back, because that's the only thing Indy has going for them. So, I mean, this game, I do think Baltimore is going to win 24-17.
And on the other side, I think Lamar Jackson is going to – you know, he had a rough game. He had the two lost fumbles last week and two interceptions. So four total turnovers. Wow. That's a tough one.
Wow.
And you know, he's not going to threaten throwing for 300 yards in this game, but I think there's going to be some RPO plays that he turns into some long gains in this one. And maybe that opens up some running lanes for J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. The interesting thing is how Hollywood Brown is going to get some work this week, because he kind of did the squeaky wheel thing. You know, after the game, he sent out a tweet about, you know, getting, you know, about being the, you know, having the weapon but not using it. And then he deleted it, but of course people saved it. And does he get some extra play?
So, I think they kind of have to. He's productive when they use him. I think that the reason they strayed from him is because whenever they had a tough, like when they played Kansas City and they tried to go to Marquise, Lamar Jackson just couldn't hit him because Lamar was overthrowing him all the time, trying too hard. So I think that's why they didn't go to Hollywood too much. Plus, Hollywood had tight coverage. So I feel like they didn't want to try too hard to go to him because they didn't want to fall behind quickly like they did it with Kansas City, or they just wanted to make it their game script.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, take us home and you get someone to join. And let's also remember, you know, one of the things we left out, you and I are facing off this week in the Familia League.
and this is actually a really fun game because I get to finally use CMC, I believe.
Oh, tengo miedo, baby. Tengo miedo.
So we got Carolina 3-5 at Kansas City 7-1. It's going to be 74 and partly sunny. So expect the Bruce Lee of running backs to kill it. The defense for Kansas City running backs is mid-level. However, CMC is elite level. So I'm hoping this dude... hoping he gets over 200 yards tomorrow. Right, Georgie?
Hey, you know what? I got him in my own personal rankings. I got him as the RB4 this week.
Behind who?
I got him behind Kamara, Cook, and I think Derrick Henry. I'm going to look that one up in a second.
No. Mark my words, CMC, if they let him play fully, RB1. That's the only thing. They won't stop him. Kansas City will not stop him, but maybe he's on a pitch count.
That's the thing. That's what I keep thinking about, that he's going to be on a pitch count and they're not going to utilize him fully. So that's why I kind of put him behind the other guys. So
I'm setting my alarm. I'm excited for this. Yep, it was. One thing that they got to worry about, Teddy Bridgewater last week just was horrible. Was it raining?
Yeah, it was ugly rain too.
So he just had 170 what yards. And I mean, Mike Davis didn't do anything the past 2 weeks. So I feel like this team's ready to blow up. You got Robbie Anderson, who was doing awesome, just last week had a little dud. And by the way, I think Robbie Anderson has more receiving yards than Phillip Rivers has passing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because I think we saw Phillip Rivers had five. I don't know. I saw something where a quarterback had only 500. But anyways, I don't think that's true. Anyway, so Robbie Anderson's been doing great all year. And I think now DJ Moore, people have noticed he's getting a lot more targets, getting a lot more reception. Finally, he's turning it on, and he caught up to Robbie Anderson's numbers. And I think this is a perfect game for Carolina to really try to throw the ball a lot and go in the air, because they are going to do a pitch count with run CMC, but if they throw the ball a lot, he's going to be able to go out and do the what CMC does best, or the screen passes. So if they can open up the ball like that, CMC is going to run all over this team. God, I hope he gets like 150 for rushing, 100 receiving. And he can do it because he'll do it. He'll get 180 yard run. And then he'll walk back to the sideline with no sweat on him.
Yeah, and so, be like, okay, I'm ready. Take the gloves off, coach.
And then on the other side, to see the other best player in the league, in Patrick Mahomes, go against a defense that's been okay against quarterbacks and wide receivers. They're QB8 and wide receiver 4 as far as Carolina is. So I hope it's competitive so that we could see Mahomes. Mahomes last week was just on fire. I'm happy because believe it or not, a lot of people didn't play Mahomes. Not didn't play him, but they didn't trust in him. And in two quarterback leagues, people were thinking about putting him down because he was going against the Jets. And the week before Patrick Mahomes got a big lead, he got minuscule numbers. But then this week, he just absolutely blew up. So I don't know why that was. Honestly, I thought they were going to run all week last week. So who knows what they're going to do this week? It seems like they like to change it up weekly. So this week, are we going to see more Le'Veon? Are we going to see CEH? Last week, both of them each had six rushes. Is that because Le'Veon was back in New Jersey and they wanted to put him more in the game? Or is this really going to be a 50-50 split? I don't know. But this team, Carolina, they suck against the running back. So Kansas City can kind of try to see what they're going to do this time with the running backs. But I would stray away from that situation if you can. Other than that, it looks like it's going to be a high-scoring game. So fire up all the wide receivers. And I would definitely want to fire up CMC and put him on all my DFS teams.
The one thing, I look at that Carolina defense. They've been surprisingly good against the pass, but they haven't faced Patrick Mahomes. So I mean, that's the thing.
I don't care how good your defense is. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes
is going to make you look ugly somewhere.
Yeah, and it's going to be nice weather. It's going to be mid 70s. So it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I wouldn't be surprised if he threw another 350 plus and 3-4 touchdowns and
I think they're just going to use this game as like find out what they need on their team to get better at. You know what I mean? Like, so I think they're going to run a lot this game just at the start because the Carolina's defense is soft. And Kansas City kind of has to find out their running back situation. So
yeah, exactly.
And no matter what, if they start off behind, they're going to be able to catch up easy because Patrick Mahomes can just throw the ball real quick, flick it over to Kelce easily. So I think they're gonna rush a lot in the beginning.
It's the other guy. You got Kelce too. Ay, Dios mío. So
my team's murderous. I got Kelce, Kamara, CMC. Scary Terry, DeAndre Hopkins, Patrick Mahomes, or now Kyler Murray. Close enough. You're done.
You're done. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do.
To talk projections, but it's like my projection this week's phenomenal. So
I think you're about a dozen points ahead of me on this one. So we'll see. That's why you got to play the game. So
Be your bet.
Of course. I'm not gonna be scared. Beer bet between the podcast primos all the time.
I can hear your voice shaking already.
I am shaking. I'm already figuring out. I gotta buy that. Get the chili lime transplants brew for
the cherry lime. Yeah,
the one named
Lime Ricky.
The Lime Ricky. bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure Independent Podcast gets out to you, the familia. Please subscribe at Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get Pocket Cast, wherever you get your podcasts. And on Apple, please leave us a review. Remember, follow us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB. I'm at JorgeMartin17 and our FamiliaFFB.com, where you're going to see Adentro y Afuera over these next couple of days, getting ready for the Stardom Sit'em. And don't forget our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody.
Adios, amigos.
Remember, todos somos familia. Salud!